thank you, Jimmy and Debbie, for sharing with us this morning and for being vulnerable with us. That was beautiful. I'm so excited to be here. Can you hear me okay? I just thank you all for coming. Jesus, thanks you for coming. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, you are so good to us. You are so good to us. Thank you for the cross, for your arms stretched in sacrificial embrace, for the mercy that flows from your wounds. Come and help us to hear and receive all that you long to give us. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. How's everybody's Lent? Yeah. I never know how to answer that question. It's a really beautiful question. And when people ask it, they're wanting to share with you, and they're wanting you to share with them. But my answers are always one of two things. I either am thinking I have failed at everything, I've done nothing right, and there's a lot of self-reproach and self-flagellation, or I'm listening to other people and their self-reproach and thinking, I'm crushing my Lenten goals. I have got it this year. I've got fasting down. I don't even know if I need food anymore. I don't even know if I need water. I think I'm okay. I only passed out a couple times, but I think I'm good. And, you know? But let me explain how Lent is going in the Dion household. Some of you might do this. We have what we call our sacrifice jar. And so we have a little dish of dried black beans, and next to it is an empty jar. And throughout Lent, as my children do sacrifices, they can place a bean into the jar. And on an Easter morning, the black beans in the jar have been transformed into an overflowing amount of M&Ms. And they're overflowing no matter how few beans are in the jar to begin with, because God's graces they far outnumber any of our sacrifices. So, I have a child who shall remain nameless, but she's 8, so if you ever see us, she's our youngest, but I won't name her. She really, really, she said she had a special bean. I don't exactly know how a single dried black bean was special, but she said it was special, so she really wanted to do a sacrifice. So she went to my husband, her dad, and she said, Dad, I really want to do a sacrifice. Do you have anything that I can do? And she's so eager, and her face is just so ready to accept whatever he's going to tell her. And he says, yes, I do. And she says, wait. I want to do anything that you want me to do, any sacrifice. Just not cleaning. So he says, okay, all right, you know what, I'll honor that. And so she looks at him again, and she's holding this special black bean. Dad, please, any sacrifice, anything, I'll do anything except cleaning. And he says, okay, I have something for you. I want you to put away the Tupperware, which in our house, because of the sorry state of our Tupperware drawer, is the most loathsome chore. And she looks at him, and you see her face fall. She turns, runs from the room, yelling, never mind, I don't need to do a sacrifice, I don't need it. And I just laughed, and I thought, well, isn't that human? I can't even tell you how many times I've come and I've said, Lord, that red crown of martyrdom, that's what, you can have my feet cut off. I will march through the streets of Lansing. I will do anything for you, anything that you ask of me. And he says, okay. I want you to listen to the kids' music in the car and like it. Okay, but the cutting off the feet part, like, we're still, can we still maybe do that one instead. He says, okay, you don't want to listen to the Wiggles, that's fine. How about you just smile at your husband when you're feeling grouchy and you'd rather just be grouchy? Or how about when your child asks you to play an insipid card game for the 40th time, you do it cheerfully? How about those sacrifices? And again, yeah, but the red crown, we're not going to do that. Like, is that not an option anymore? Because that was going to send me straight to heaven. And the other one is so much harder and it takes a lot longer. So anyway, that is how Lent is going in the Indiana house. We are running from the sacrifices that we're being asked to do. We are not crushing our Lenten goals. And fasting is making us pass out. So I love the idea of tools in the toolbox. In my early years, I spent some time away from the church. I kind of came back and forth over a period of time, and I miss out on a lot of these tools. I was raised Catholic, but by the time I got to later high school and into college, I really wasn't interested in any avenues of grace, and certainly not the Catholic avenues of grace, which is sad, because they would have come in pretty handy when I went through some dark and challenging times, especially after hearing you share. I wish I had not been young and stupid. So I got married, and I came back to the church for good this time, here to stay, and started raising children, and I felt like I was discovering the feast of our faith for the first time. It felt like falling in love. It really felt like falling in love. And as I began to mine the riches of all of our traditions, I couldn't get enough. There's a hunger. I'm still hungry for it. And I have so much still to learn. The church gives us so much. I'm always learning more. So today I'm going to talk about one of these tools. Liz asked me to speak about litanies. It was not a subject I was well versed on before today. So if I am at any point an accidental heretic, I'm so sorry. You can feel free to correct me privately or publicly. That can be my sacrifice, being in the jar, if you want to do it publicly. But please feel free to correct me. All right, so I did want to say at first that litanies are beautiful, devotions are beautiful, but different things work for us during different seasons of our life. So if using litanies in private prayer just, it doesn't work for you, it's not where your heart is, it's not what the Lord's calling you to right now, that's okay. I was actually just listening to an interview by Father Gregory Pine. He was talking about devotions. It was a great interview. But he says, he was quoting a saint, but he didn't remember the name of the saint, so it could actually not be a saint. But he said, there are many devotions in the church's treasury. Choose only a few and be faithful to them. And I would add, until the Lord calls you to something different. So be faithful to them until he calls you to something different. And actually, that's what Ginny was telling us, right? They started praying to St. Dimphna, and they're still doing it. They're still doing it. I actually love that you mention her. I found a t-shirt. I like Catholic t-shirts. And I found one that said St. Dimphna Support Group. And I think I'm going to ask that one for my birthday because I really, that's like my heart. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe that would like advertise too much about myself. So there are many devotions. And be faithful. Choose a few. Be faithful to them. But he did say we should have all these things at our disposal and know what the church offers. So mine those riches. Mine those riches. And he said that the church assigns primary importance to what God has revealed as primary, so the Mass and the sacraments. And then it assigns merit to what is proven to be efficacious, so rosary, the Stations of the Cross. Now, some litanies have been recognized as indulgence acts, so they have a place within public liturgy and prayer. But private devotional ones, like the Litany of Trust that we're going to be praying today, those are tools that you can use if you feel, again, like the Lord's calling you to it, if he's presenting it to you, as you said. All right. I have two books. You notice that we have provided two litanies for you today. There is the Litany of Trust and the Litany of the Wounded Heart. So the Litany of Trust was written by Sister Faustina Maria Pia, and she also wrote this book, Jesus, I Trust in You, a 30-day personal retreat with the Litany of Trust. And I loosely used some of the things from this for a meditation on the litany today. I recommend that book. It was really beautiful. A friend actually handed that to me, not knowing that that was what I was speaking about today. The second one, The Litany of the Wounded Heart, comes from this book by Dr. Jerry Creek called Litanies of the Heart. I highly recommend this book if you are someone who needs to wear a Saint Dimpa support group t-shirt. He explores our psychology as it relates to Catholicism and to Scripture. So if you've ever said, I'm all over the place, or part of me wants to do this thing and part of me doesn't want to do this thing, he dives into that and really gets into why you might feel that way and how to allow Christ to bring you into union with him. But we won't be praying that one today. I encourage you to take it home, look it over. If it's something that you might want to pray through, wonderful. If not, that's okay. All right, so just a little bit of housekeeping before I get into this. At the end, we're going to be doing a meditation on a gospel passage, and then we're going to be doing a meditation on the Litany of Trust. In the Litany of Trust, I have a ton of quotes. I added a lot of quotes from saints, spiritual authors, scripture. I adapted some to fit the prayer, so some things might sound familiar, but they're not exactly what you've heard before. I'm not going to give us all the sources when we pray through that, because that would be really distracting when we're trying to meditate. But if something stands out to you, just feel free to come and find me. I have those references. All right, so litanies, what are they? We're fairly familiar with them, at least in form, but from an article by our very own Jeremy Priest, who thankfully returned my text messages about this week. Litanies have been a part of public and private prayer for millennia. Litanies are repetitive prayer forms, usually characterized by the announcement of varying invocations, so lists of divine titles, names of saints, followed by a fixed congregational response. So what do we hear? We hear repetitive prayer, not vain repetition, but it's a repetitive prayer, varying invocations, and fixed congregational responses. Now, obviously, if you're praying as a private devotion, it's not a congregational response, it's just a fixed response. But fixed congregational responses would be when you pray them in a group. Some sources that I had checked said that litanies began, at least in their sort of current form, as processions by early Christians through the streets. They would take religious artifacts and they would process to the streets, often on days that were important to pagans as a way of claiming those days for Christ. And then they were also used in times of distress, in famine, illness, attacks, where the whole group would come together and they would cry out as one. But we also see a version of litanies prayed by monks in the deserts of Egypt. They would repeat, as they went about their day, short passages of scripture. So they would say, O God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. which, if you pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you would be very familiar with that. O God, come to my assistance, Lord, make haste to help me. And that comes from Psalm 70. And they would pray that in times of joy and in times of struggle, because they wanted to remind themselves that no matter what, they were dependent on God. So even when things were good, they were still dependent on God. Now in the Byzantine church, they have what they call the Jesus Prayer, which some of you might pray. And I actually brought my tchotchke to show you. This is a tchotchke. It is a prayer rope that originated in the 4th century. And there are different numbers of knots on them. One of the most common ones would have 33 knots. Actually, I have no idea how many knots mine are. Maybe 100. But anyway, they had 33 knots, some of them, for Jesus' life. And on each knot, you pray a little litany. You pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And they have a whole breathing method that they do with it, where they breathe in part of the prayer, and then they breathe out another part. And I've tried to do that, but apparently when I breathe in and breathe out, I forget how to breathe. So I have to stop doing that. But we actually can see litanies go back further still. We find them in Holy Scripture. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. For his steadfast love endures forever. This litany gives praise to God and states a truth about him. And then again, we read in the book of Daniel, bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. We hear a little litany at Mass. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. We hear that repetition. Now, as I said before, some litanies are indulgence acts approved for use for public recitation. Now, obviously, we're going to be praying the litany publicly today because we're all here, but public recitation actually means befitting public acts of the church, particularly within the liturgy. So the ones that you have probably heard, the most common ones, would be the Litany of Saints, where we ask the saints, list a lot of saint names, we ask the saints to pray for us. And if you come to the Easter Vigil, you should come to the Easter Vigil. And you should also go to the reception afterwards, and I'm sure Maureen and Bud would love to talk to you more about that.
Please volunteer.
Or you'll be voluntold. So, Litany of Saints, we pray that at the Easter Vigil, ordinations, and then at other times like solemn exorcisms. Then there's the Litany of Laredo, which is the names of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Name of Jesus, the Precious Blood of Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Saint Joseph. And then there are others, according to Jeremy Priest, but these are the ones that are most common, the ones that we would know. And then a friend of mine said this, and I loved it, because I hadn't thought of it, but of course she was right, because she was right about everything. But she said, you know, litanies are catechetical. They're catechetical because when we learn these names, these titles of Mary and the titles of Joseph, it tells us something about who they are. And you can meditate on every single one of those names, and it tells you something about what our church teaches and about who they are. So other than repetitive prayer, fixed congregational responses, and varied invocations, what's a litany? Now, I really like words. I'm not very good at saying them, but I really like them. And so I'm going to be nerdy for a minute and get a little bit into some etymology. So litany means supplication or petition. And that's beautiful. Supplication, petition. We use them to cry for help, and sometimes to give honor or praise, thanksgiving. But parts of the Eastern Church, okay. So I'm gonna butcher the Greek, I did watch YouTube videos and I practiced, and it's still wrong. So I'm going to go to the Greek. If you're fluent in Greek, again, I'll put a sacrifice bee in the jar and you can help me correct me. But parts of the Eastern Church sometimes refer to them as ektenias or ektene. And ektenia means zeal and earnestness. And that comes from the verb ektenino, which means to stretch out. So these words that the Eastern Church uses for their litanies, we can think of ours the exact same way because the prayers are actually very similar and in some cases the same. So that means that a litany means earnestly, boldly, calling out again and again in our need, stretching our hands, our hearts, ourselves to a Father who loves us. And then invoking the intercession of Blessed Mother and of the saints. And one more side note, oftentimes litanies will begin with Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, but not all of them. The one we're going to be praying today doesn't, but oftentimes you will see that. So why is the repetition important? It's not being repetition, like I said before. Why is that important? We actually see the importance of repetition in poetry and literature, and it's used as a device there to emphasize a point. And it calls readers not only to memorize what's being said, but also to examine the words and their deeper meanings. So when we pray litanies and we pray over and over again, Jesus, I trust in you, we're repeating those words, and words are important. What we say to ourselves is important. The reason why is because the words are solidified in our hearts when we repeat them. We take them into ourselves and they become a part of us. This is why lies are so powerful, because words are important. So when we have this repetition in the litany, we're taking those words into ourselves and making them a part of us. And then it emphasizes those words in our mind. So when we're struggling to express ourselves or to put words to our anguish, our grief, our fears, I found this great quote by Father Bartonek, and he says, this is what he says about litanies. We allow the words of the litany to serve as a vehicle for our inexpressible love and concern. The litanies become like the wheels of a train, carrying the weight of our hearts up to heaven. In this sense, litanies are like songs. In a song, the words are often repetitive, as when we sing the refrain over and over again. And the music is a preset formula. But the repetitive and formulaic nature of the song, instead of impeding us from expressing our prayer, actually enables us to pray more personally and more passionately, giving expression to sentiments that reside in the hidden, hard-to-access depth of our souls. Jesus also tells us that repetition is persistent prayer. He says us to pray always, to call out day and night, to pray unceasingly. We see it in the parable of the persistent widow. One more reason that repetition is important is it helps us to grow in being poor in spirit. And what is being poor in spirit? It's humility. It's being childlike. It's reminding ourselves that without God, we can do nothing. And so when we repeat, Lord, have mercy, or deliver me, Jesus, we're saying, I can't do this on my own. Please come to me. So again, earnestly, boldly, stretching out our hands in our need, and solidifying those words in our hearts. And Dr. Crete, in the Litanies of the Heart book, he actually describes the litany. I thought this was beautiful after you're talking about being the depths and the waves being deep. He actually describes the repetition of a litany as waves on the sea, and invites people to let the prayers wash over you. So if it helps, when we pray through it, you can think of it as waves on the sea, not crashing, drowning waves, but the soft, gentle waves, peaceful waves. Through a short meditation that I've adapted from an exercise by Father Timothy Gallagher. And we're going to head right from that meditation on the Gospel of Mark into the Litany of Trust. And this is how I want to pray this together. So if you look at the Litany of Trust, you'll see that it's two parts. The first half, with the response, "Deliver me, Jesus." These are our petitions. And then the second half, that ends with, "Jesus, I trust in you." This is where we're claiming the truth. So for the first half, with the response, "Deliver me, Jesus," this is actually the part we're going to meditate. We'll pray the whole thing, but this is the part we're going to meditate on today. For that first part, I am going to invite you to just listen and to enter into that part. To ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal areas where you struggle to trust. Maybe areas you don't even realize you're struggling to trust. Places where He wants to give you more freedom. I'm going to ask you as we pray through that part, to pray earnestly, boldly, to stretch out your hands and cry out. And then for the second half of the response, "Jesus, I trust in you," I'll pray through, and if you'd like to respond, "I trust in you," you're welcome to join me. But if you'd rather just continue to sit silently, that's totally fine too. I would also like to say that there is a lot. There's a lot. When you pray through the litany, yeah. Yeah, sure. So in the litany, you'll see the first half is asking for deliverance from different fears. So for that part, I'm going to ask you not respond, because we really want to participate in the fixed congregational responses. I'm just going to ask you not respond, because I'm going to do a little meditation after each one. But then for the second half, where the response is, "Jesus, I trust in you," if you would like to, absolutely, you can join in that response. Okay, good. But yeah, so there's a lot, because there are a lot of little meditations here. Not everything applies to everyone. So I would invite you to ask Jesus to meet you where He desires. And then to let all the other words fall away. Just let it all fall away. I would also encourage you to just listen and not write during this time. Unless you really, really want to, and I can tell you can't. But I would encourage you to listen. I have it up here, and I'm happy to let people look at it. If they said there was something they wanted to see again, you absolutely are welcome to look at it. All right. So we're going to meditate on part of the Gospel of Mark. So I'm going to ask that you just take a deep breath. Let your heart be settled. Let your mind be quieted. If you feel comfortable, if you feel safe, you can close your eyes. Come, Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Mark, we recount the story of the woman afflicted with hemorrhages. And Mark tells us that she had suffered greatly for 12 years at the hands of doctors, that she had spent all she had, but had only grown worse. Now she hears about a man who has come into town, and the people have been sharing stories of the healing miracles he has performed. Something stirs in her heart when she listens. A new hope begins to grow. and she decides to make her way through the crowds to see him. I invite you to place yourself there. The street is filled with people, all talking, moving towards Jesus and pressing in on him. Listen to the noise. Imagine the disciples trying to stand around Jesus, ushering him through the throng. No one notices the sick woman, carefully but determinedly making her way to him. This is a woman who knows deep suffering. She has done everything within her natural power to be healed. She lives with pain, physically and emotionally spent. Because of the bleeding, she has been labeled unclean and could not enter the temple. She is alone, rejected, isolated, hopeless. She has spent everything she had. She is destitute. We can feel her sense of powerlessness in the face of an uncertain future. Mark tells us her thoughts as she looks at Jesus. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured. She stretches out her hand and we see her fingertip brush the hem of Jesus' cloak. Her face changes. She knows immediately that something is different. We can see Jesus pause and he turns and asks, "Who touched my clothes?" And this is so beautiful because he already knows who touched him. But he wants her to come to him freely. He will not force her. His eyes scan the crowd as he asks the question, looking for her. She is fearful and she trembles. But her heart is courageous and she approaches him. We can hear her pour out her entire life to Jesus. All the ways she has been broken, all the indignities she suffered, all her shame. And he looks at her and listens. In the midst of the din and movement of the crowd around them, he turns his full attention and love on her. And then he calls her daughter and tells her to go in peace. And now he turns his gaze to you. You stand before him in the chaos, in the noise, and Jesus sees you. He sees every part of you. He already knows your story and your pain, but he wants you to stretch out your hand, to let your fingertip touch him, and he wants to listen as you open your heart in vulnerability and trust. Meet his gaze. Hold nothing back. Hear him call you daughter. As we pray the litany, stay with Jesus. Continue to let him love you in all your fears. Let your heart cry out. From the belief that I have to earn your love, deliver me, Jesus. The world tells me that I must earn my way in life, that if I just work hard enough, I will have value. I try to do everything perfectly. I cannot accept my failures because I fear that imperfections disqualify me from your love. But your love is a sacrificial gift, a gift freely given. I cannot earn your love because you are love himself. From the fear that I am unlovable, deliver me, Jesus. I have deep aches. I sometimes try to transform myself into an image I like. Perhaps I've cursed my body or thought I'm the wrong kind of woman. Others have made me feel unlovable. They've told me I'm too much. I have a deep need to be cared for, and you say, I see you. The time has come for you to be loved. I have made you mine. From the false security that I have what it takes, deliver me, Jesus. Sometimes I don't believe that I need the cross. I think I can do everything by myself, or that I am sufficient on my own. I struggle to receive help from others and feel anger at my limitations. I want people to admire my self-reliance. I believe that asking for help will make me seem like a burden. But Jesus, you yourself did nothing without the Father. You invite me into vulnerability and ask me to give the gift of my weaknesses to you. From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute, deliver me, Jesus. I'm afraid you'll leave me. I say I'm easy to walk away from. I feel like I've done everything the way I'm supposed to, but life isn't what I expected. My needs and desires have gone unmet. I've been rejected and abandoned. And if I lean into you, Jesus, I wonder, will you go away too? Will I lose the things or people I love? But you have promised I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You offer me an invitation to intimacy in the midst of my emptiness and desolation. Jesus, help me to enter more deeply into your heart when I experience loss. From all suspicion of your words and promises, deliver me, Jesus. How often do I question your motives or believe you to be untrustworthy? I'm terrified of being deceived, of having the rug pulled out from under me. I'm hurt when I reveal my struggles to someone and they doubt me or they twist my words. My heart is wounded in the face of broken promises from people I thought I could trust. But the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word is you, and you are truth. You will never lie to me or break your promises. From the rebellion against childlike dependency on you, deliver me, Jesus. Can I picture myself as a little girl, running into the arms of the Father with a story to tell or a hurt that feels unbearable? How would you receive me? Can I see your eagerness to listen, your delight in surprising me with a met need or a gentle word of encouragement? Sometimes I believe you don't have time for me, that my suffering is too small compared to others. I shouldn't complain. But you ask me to be little. I am never too much for you. My struggles are not insignificant. You look at me with tender compassion because you are a Father who knows my heart, even the places I've hidden away. From refusals and reluctances in accepting your will, deliver me, Jesus. How often do I say, this was not the plan. This is not what I would choose. I can do it better. I can do it differently. But all roads lead to the cross. Can I sit with you, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane as you accept the Father's will? You yourself are obedient to death, even to death on a cross. From anxiety about the future, deliver me, Jesus. When I look at the world, the church, my family, I'm worried about what's coming next. I consume endless news in the hopes of always being prepared, keeping everybody safe. Yet it leaves me without peace. I constantly scan the horizon for coming storms, forgetting that you sleep in the boat and there's nothing to fear. When I look into the future, I'm frightened, but why plunge into the future? Only the present moment is precious to me, as the future may never enter my soul at all. O present moment, you belong to me. Jesus, I want to abide always in this moment, making it a gift of love to you. From resentment or excessive preoccupation with the past, deliver me, Jesus. My past choices and experiences hold intense regret and shame. I wish I could take back my sins, the ways I've hurt others and wounded you. Am I bound to my shame? Have I condemned myself? Have I condemned other people? Have I condemned the people who hurt me? Do I dredge up wounds over and over, not to be healed, but to ruminate? Or do I take my scars to the foot of the cross? Do I release my grasp on justice? Do I believe you when you say, behold, I make all things new? From restless self-seeking in the present moment, deliver me, Jesus. What are the rivals to you in my heart? What must I put to death so that another might live inside of me? How are you asking me to love you today? There is only one, and he is the truth. Do I seek you? Lord, love me into letting go of my attachments. From disbelief in your love and presence, deliver me, Jesus. How often do I hear people say that you love us, and I think, it isn't for me. I wonder, do you restore me only to crush me? I sit alone. I feel unseen, friendless. Show me that you are with me here. I would like to be wholly yours, although in the world, and that is so simple. You are always with me. I am always with you, through all my actions, in my sufferings, when my body is exhausted. I remain in your sight. I choose to see you present, living in my soul. From the fear of being asked to give more than I have delivered to Jesus, I'm so afraid to open my clenched fists. Who will I be when I have nothing left to hold on to? Who will I be when I stand before you with empty hands? You come to your little bride when she stretches out her hand. The law of fear gives way to the law of love, and you say, give me your nothingness, and I will transform it into fire. Show me times where you have sustained me. From the belief that my life has no meaning or worth, deliver me, Jesus. There are days I look at myself and think, I'm not good. I don't know who I am or what I was made for. Life seems bleak, the pain of living unbearable. My health, my body fails me. But you formed my inmost parts. And even the darkness is not dark to you. I have been made to give and receive your love. To love you, that is my life's aim. To love others, that is my purpose. It is good that I am here. It is good that I exist. Help me to believe that I am a unique and unrepeatable daughter. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. From the fear of what love demands, deliver me, Jesus. Love demands the crucifixion. I believe that it's worth it. Love demands sacrifice. Love demands that I climb my cross. Do I believe that it's worth it? Love demands a look of gentleness when I feel impatient. It demands a kind word when I want to be harsh. It demands forgiveness, mercy, humility. It demands that the heroic becomes daily and the daily becomes heroic. It demands obedience in my repetitive duties when I long for adventure. Jesus, give me the grace to surrender to all of love's demands. From discouragement, deliver me, Jesus. How long must I wait? How long must I wait, O Lord? God, by making me wait, you stretch desire. Stretching desire, you stretch my soul. Stretching my soul, you make it capable of receiving. Like a litany, I come to you persistently. Like the woman with the hemorrhage, I feel exhausted, spent, broken. But I can say each day, now I begin. Each hour, now I begin. And I will begin again, and I will begin again. And you will provide all of the strength that I need. Try, fail, surrender. Stretch out my fingertip in faith once again. That you are continually holding me, sustaining me, loving me. Jesus, I trust in you. That your love goes deeper than my sins and failings and transforms me. Jesus, I trust in you. That not knowing what tomorrow brings is an invitation to lean on you. Jesus, I trust in you. That you are with me in my suffering. Jesus, I trust in you. That my suffering united to your own will bear fruit in this life and the next. Jesus, I trust in you. That you will not leave me orphaned, that you are present in the church. Jesus, I trust in you. That your plan is better than anything else. Jesus, I trust in you. That you always hear me and in your goodness always respond to me. Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me the grace to accept forgiveness and to forgive others. Jesus, I trust in you. That you give me all the strength I need for what is asked. Jesus, I trust in you. That my life is a gift. Jesus, I trust in you. That you will teach me to trust you. Jesus, I trust in you. That you are my Lord and my God. Jesus, I trust in you. That I am your beloved one. Jesus, I trust in you.